Welcome, believers. This is Lucha Lowdown. I am your host and El Jefe of this podcast, James Kincaid. With me tonight, as always, El Guapo Jeff Budd.
Go on now.
Welcome back, Jeff. We are into our second episode now that we're going to review of Lucha Underground since making its mid-season return here in Season 3. Tonight's episode we're talking about is Sudden Death, and this is coming directly on the heels of All Night Long, again, taking more than...
All Night Long.
That is right. So Mac and Johnny Mundo had to finally settle the score for the Lucha Underground Championship. That's where we kick off. But we got so much more in this episode. Right off the bat, I love this episode. It is a return of everything that Lucha Underground has to offer, which is great matches and really awesome vignettes and products of the brain of Dario Cueto. Jeff, overall, what did you think of this episode?
I enjoyed it a lot. I thought it was a pretty intense lineup as far as what the matches were. We had basically a resolution to the championship match. Then we had a trios championship match. And then, I mean, a Boyle Heights street fight, no matter what, is going to be awesome, especially when it was Prince Puma and Mil Muertes.
Yeah, this was the lineup for these matches essentially is akin to, I mean, it would be Ultima Lucha worthy, you know, for a lineup. Yeah. I mean, yeah, you had Mundo and Mac for the title, and then Trios Championships, the newly rebranded, I guess they're not the Snake Tribe anymore, Jeff, they're the Reptile Tribe, taking on Aerostar, Phoenix, and Drago, or so it would appear.
Yeah, I mean, it just fast forwarding really, really quickly to the end of that match. I don't know if it is legal what they did, because she technically never participated in the match. I don't think that makes it okay.
It does make it okay, because Lucha Underground said it does.
I don't need it to be legal, because it's Lucha Underground, but I don't think it's legit.
Well, let's get into the opening match, which was, again, picking up where All Night Long, again, left off with the Mac taking on Johnny Mundo. Sudden death, one fall to a finish. There has to be a winner. And Dario Cueto came out, and I guess he said what was tipping the scales in Mac's favor a little bit, saying that it was going to be falls count anywhere, much to the chagrin of Johnny Mundo. I'm sitting there thinking, I was like, I don't really think that favors either one of them all that much. But, you know, Mac seemed to enjoy it. So, all right, let's lucha.
I was thinking, I mean, Mac sort of has that reputation, though. I was thinking about his matches versus Cage in the previous seasons. And, I mean, he's kind of like, you know, blue-collar brawler is what he goes by. So,
yeah,
I don't know. It made sense to me. Mundo, even though I don't see how it doesn't help Mundo, because Mundo's always a cheater.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it goes right up his alley, too. But I guess Mundo is a little more traditional in the wrestling sense.
Yeah, but when you have a stable of guys that can come out of nowhere and anywhere, then that's why it helps him out. Yeah,
still.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We got to back up real quick, though, because we got a phenomenal opening vignette. And again, this is Lucha Underground sort of representing everything that we got. So it was Prince Puma, or Puma Dark, as he is now, acting like a real Puma dick. But Rey Mysterio, so he was seeing, Puma was hearing the words of Katrina again and everything like that, and the influence of Vampiro over him. And then Rey Mysterio showed up and was telling him, you know, that like Vampiro is not your master, and, you know, essentially trying to offer him some words of wisdom.
Dude, Rey is such an Obi-Wan Kenobi. It's
ridiculous. Is. And he's got two Anakins on his hands here with Puma and Dragon Azteca. Rey Mysterio is trying to give him guidance, and Puma threw it in his face, sort of like a Spider-Man to Uncle Ben kind of thing. You know, with great power comes great responsibility. Yeah, I thought that was
a great exchange.
It was awesome, and it sort of played off that sort of, there's always been a little bit of tension between Rey and Puma, or at least a competition, you know, not necessarily contentious, but, I mean, they are, you know, Puma is the young face, and Rey, the venerable icon of Lucha Libre and everything like that, so a little bit of a fault line crashing there. I did like Puma saying, basically, he threw Conan under the bus and Rey all in one. What did you think of this vignette?
That's what I liked about it, is because it also had him starting to question his relationship with Conan. And then, like you said, he and Rey have always had like this weird, tense relationship. I think what it comes down to is Puma obviously is a member of the New Guard, but Rey's not aged out yet.
Yeah.
You know, he still is very much in fighting shape and condition, so he's not exactly there to pass the torch right now, even though Ray's the kind of guy who admits, you know, that he's going to have to pass the torch. I think he's a pretty humble legend. But, yeah, he's still basically on the top of his game, too. So it just makes it where they're butt heads. You know, there can only be one leader of the pride, I suppose.
I would have liked to have seen a little bit more of maybe, like, and I'll have to go back and watch. Maybe they did do more of it than I'm remembering. But, like, sort of on commentary, you know, like when you have a basketball team that forms a super team, like Rey, Azteca, and Puma did when they won the Trios Championship. It would have been cool if they sort of teased, like, you know, how are they going to coexist? Like, is this too much? Like, is there enough to go around? Kind of similar to, like, in basketball, like, are there enough touches to go around for everybody and stuff like that? Sort of to tease a little bit of friendly tension, you know, competition type tension, stuff like that, just as far as if they're playing the long con with this. But
that's a good question. I'd have to rewatch too. I mean, you definitely got the story in the ring, Puma's frustrations.
Yeah.
That's around the time that Puma started getting a little more violent too.
Mm-hmm.
And then obviously it culminated with Puma and Ray having that match, but that was still under the guise of like friendly competition, you know?
Yeah. Totally.
It wasn't a falling out.
But I do really enjoy their story, and I feel like we might be destined to see another clash between them, especially with what got announced tonight. So that will be very, very interesting on how that develops. But I like the end of this vignette, too, with Vampiro showing up and essentially threatening Rey and everything like that. I just, so good.
That was awesome.
Yeah. I like creepy spectral Vampiro, too. I enjoy so much of his involvement as sort of like this dark master and everything like that. It's terrific.
There's so much black magic going on in the temple. It's ridiculous. And then what I loved was we go from that vignette to Smiley Vampiro with Stryker at the commentary
table. Yeah.
It's like, that's the same guy. He's like Norman Osborn.
Matt doesn't really know him as well as he thinks, but I got to say,
he never would have picked him up at the mental hospital.
Yeah, exactly. Vampiro on commentary tonight was on fire, by the way, and we'll get to some of my favorite lines, but he had some great ones that are dueling for a quote of the night. But let's jump back into the sudden death match between Mac and Mundo. What did you think?
I thought the match was good. What I liked was we had more interference like we did last week. But we also got Taya's participation, which is one of the people that we were kind of looking for.
Yeah,
happy to see her show
that
up.
That was a sight for sore eyes. Very, very welcome sight to see Taya back in the ring and doing her thing, looking fully healed. That was awesome.
And I feel like Ricky's just living the dream right now. That's exactly.
Yeah, Ricky Mandel showed up again.
Picturing myself doing all the things he was doing. I was like, that's what I want. I want that life.
It is like finally he's getting brought into the fold with Worldwide Underground. But
Mundo addresses him.
Yeah, I mean, if I'm Mundo, though, I hope he's seen that music video with Eminem and Dido, Stan.
Just, yeah.
You got to be careful, Johnny, with guys like that, you know? It's the last letter I'll ever send your wrestling ass. You got to tread carefully with Ricky Mandel, Johnny, because they can be a little crazy.
Well, maybe that's why Mundo's reaching out to him and stuff, as opposed to Mundo just last second. It's like, oh, hey, Ricky, I totally didn't get any of these letters.
Sometimes he scribbles well too sloppy when he jots them. Oh, man. That would be great if they did that as a storyline. Crazy super fan. I mean, I wouldn't rule it out. But, yeah, I mean, we got more of Worldwide Underground involved in this match. I'm not sure. I know they mentioned it later on in vignette why Jack Evans wasn't out there, but did he get actually hurt and that's why he's not there? Am I forgetting something?
You know what the problem is with the mid-season break, it's hard for me to recall exactly what happened with Jack before this or if it was something that wasn't even
2 weeks.
Underground
like,
related.
Bullshit, yeah. 2 weeks.
I found his absence, you know, pretty glaring last week. Because, yeah. I mean, when's the last time you see, like, he or PJ, like, by themselves, you know? They're joined at the hip.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, like, the way that the sort of, like, the way I always saw the power structure of Worldwide Underground was Mundo, Taya, Evans, PJ kind of deal. With Evans and PJ sort of vying for that spot, but, I mean, they're kind of like the two hyenas in the Lion King.
I totally agree with that. No, Taya is clearly in command when Mundo's not there,
yes.
Like when they were the Trios team.
Yes, absolutely. I love Taya. Then, it was so great to see her back.
Yeah, I was happy to see her back too. And then I thought PJ's character was starting to develop during that tournament.
Yeah, no, it definitely was because he got one up on Jack and everything like that. But yeah. Man, now this is I would be cool to see him using a storyline if PJ sort of starts asserting himself a little bit more with Jack out, you know, and the change in the power structure even more than Mandel there.
Like I was saying, I felt if PJ had won the tournament that he was going to legitimately go against Mundo. I was happy that they didn't do that because I like the Worldwide Underground how it is. But I was just thinking as far as what PJ's character appears to be like, he would be an opportunist. He would go for it. I mean, he's happy being in a lower slot right now, but he's got to have his eyes on the prize.
Totally. My first quote of the night from Vampiro comes from when Ricky Mandel got involved, and Vampiro's just like, what's his name? Ricky Martel?
Yeah. Yes, he is a model.
Yeah, any reference to the model is greatly appreciated. So I thoroughly enjoyed that. So Taya showed up and turned the tide here, and the Mac, unfortunately, came up short because of that. But it's sort of the conclusion that we all knew was coming. But well fought by the Mac. Dude, that spot on the big pile of chairs was awesome. And then you can even hear Marty Elias's hands smacking off the chair as he was trying to count the fall there. That was great.
That was great. No, the Mac was amazing these past 2 weeks.
Yeah,
I'm a much bigger fan than I was going into this.
Yeah, well, and the thing is, I think even in spite of not bringing home the championship, he's coming out of this much better than he did when he went into it. You know, he won the Battle of the Bulls. He pushed Mundo to the limit, a really heartbreaking story that was so well told. And then this match, too, was full of emotion. I thought they executed this really well. And then they teased as we were going to break that Dario Cueto was on his way to the ring with an earth-shattering announcement. And about Ultima Lucha Trace, too. And I'm thinking, I was like, man, already announcements about Ultima Lucha Trace. I mean, we can't be that close to it. But
we kind of have to be. I mean, it can only be like a couple months away, right? Or a month away, even.
Well, I mean, we're only at the halfway point here.
Is this really the midway point, though? Or is this just where they decided to cut it off?
I mean, we're pretty much there. Because there's a lot of episodes this season, remember. But Dario Cueto showed up, and he did not disappoint. Dario's announcement, in spite of the fact there are some great vignettes and everything like that that we still haven't talked about, is my Why I Love Lucha moment of the week. Him coming to the ring like the cock of the walk and peacocking about all the great things that he's done in such a short time, and just the way it's Dario's Dial of Doom, and he's just so pleased with himself. But the line of the night was, he's like, you know, my sign in my office says proprietor, but it should really say Lucha Libre Genius. Just phenomenal. It was so great. God, Aztec gods bless Dario Cueto. That was sublime.
Well, he's serving them, so I guess they are blessing him.
For now. I hope they continue to. That was just, everything was great with Dario, and his announcement was the Cueto Cup. And which is like something even more badass than anything the Goblet of Fire, the Tri-Wizard Tournament could have. It's going to be a tournament for the Cueto Cup, which earns you a title shot at Ultima Lucha Trace. What was your thoughts on the announcement? I mean, he did it in such a very dramatic way. I mean, wait for it. And then he had Melissa Santos hold up the cup. I mean, what did you think?
I loved her holding up the cup. I thought it was funny. And then I liked him throwing her out of the ring. I find Dario to be such a great showman, such a great presenter. That's why I was telling you. He really feeds off the energy of the crowd. What I like about Lucha Underground is it is a very intimate atmosphere in the temple, and I feel a lot of the performers do a great job of feeding off of that crowd's energy and just, you know, getting a lot of it from the audience as far as how they're going to basically say what it is that they're saying. And Dario, I think, is one of the better ones at it. And that was a perfect example. You're hanging on his every word when he's not even saying anything yet.
And it's crazy because he has no wrestling background.
Yeah.
He has no wrestling background, and he has made the authority figure in wrestling new and fun again. And that to me is so impressive. That he's been able to do that, you know, because if you haven't heard the Marty the Moth interview, Marty was talking about how Dario used to ask Marty, he's like, so you do this, you know, like every weekend? And Marty was like, well, not here, you know, we do it all over the world. And he's like, all over the world? when he came in, like, he obviously was more of a neophyte to the wrestling business, but God, he's taken to it so well. I mean, it's been incredible to watch. Yeah. And I love this segment. And it was a very nice adjunct to this segment is when the Quato Cup was revealed. Vampiro, I think this is my favorite line that Vampiro had of the night. And he just said, "I'd like to fill that up with Jägermeister and shoot it." It's just like, damn. Without missing a beat, Vampiro. That was tremendous. He was on fire on the mic tonight.
He was something.
He was.
He's funny.
Yeah, loved that segment. That took us into the Trios Championship match with the, again, no longer the Snake Tribe, according to Lucha Underground social medias. They are the Reptile Tribe. We're not.
I don't like that.
I'm not misremembering, right? They used to be the Snake Tribe, correct?
No, they're the Snake Tribe, and I don't like that they're the Reptile Tribe. I prefer Snake Tribe.
I prefer the Snake Tribe too. It's much more Legends of the Hidden Temple. Much more. It feels more right than the Reptile.
Also, just like all the reptiles belong to one tribe together. I don't like it. And everybody's a snake except for this dragon they've enslaved.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, is Pindar a snake? He looks more like Stegosaurus.
No, I figure he's like, I can't think of the name of it, but yeah. No, I thought he was a snake. I thought the whole point is she's like a snake charmer.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you. I prefer the snake tribe name too, but that's just what I'm getting so far from this. But
then them versus the White Rabbit Tribe, which I think they've changed it in their social media as well. So it definitely is White Rabbit. It's like they're such natural enemies.
It's just the Rabbit Tribe.
For now.
Yeah.
Used to be the Snake Tribe. Clearly things are changing.
But we got the Trios Champions of Phoenix, Aerostar, and Drago versus the Snake and or Reptile Tribe, Vibra and Pindar and Cobra Moon. Or so it would appear. But this was a phenomenal match. Aerostar shined like crazy in this match. He was doing some amazing moves.
Shined like the stars he's flown from.
Very good, Jeff. Very good. But no,
not really.
I thought, man, when he did that super Hurricane Rana from the top rope to Pindar, he Rana'd him right out of his shirt. it was crazy. I thought Aerostar really shined bright in this. What did you think of this match? And then we'll get into what happened at the end.
Well, I mean, I like how these two teams match up actually, and I've enjoyed their battles both in the ring and then also in the vignettes. I think Aerostar, Phoenix, and Drago just work as a trios team. They have great chemistry together. Phoenix, Aerostar, and to a lesser extent, Drago. I mean, they're three of my favorite performers to watch, too.
You love throwing just a little shade of Drago out there, don't you?
Oh, because I know how much you love him. And so I want to hurt you.
You succeeded. Also, look what happened. You just spit in my face.
I told you not to like Drago, and look what happened.
Yeah, we'll get there. But yeah.
And then, as far as the Snake Tribe, I'm just so happy with the fact that, or Reptile Tribe, I'm just so happy that they've grown as far as numbers go. And I guess as far as size of opponents, too, because, you know, those guys are beastly.
I like the makeup of different tribes.
I'm sorry, yeah. Say that again.
Vibra, dude, that guy's insane. He's a big dude.
I'm just happy to have him because it's so cool having guys like that in the ring against somebody like an Aerostar or a Phoenix.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think they match up very well. Their chemistry in the ring, and Aerostar was just killing it in there.
It was one of his better matches.
Yeah, this was a lot of fun to watch. And again, the curse your sudden but inevitable betrayal, Drago, as he spit some really cool, like, I like, you know, the poison mist. So he spit the poison mist in Aerostar, much to the dismay of the believers and Matt Stryker and Vampiro. We all knew it was coming, but, you know, them's the breaks. I liked the mist angle, though. It's another old thing, but it worked so well here in Lucha Underground because it looked awesome. It looked like on Aerostar's outfit that he'd gotten slimed. Like I said, that it was like this really like sort of poisonous sort of stuff on him, you know, like it looked like toxic.
Like Mortal Kombat reptile spit. It stays on the character briefly as it's like burning you.
Yeah. I thought from just the visual aspect, it really worked. And then Pindar crushed him with that crazy move that he did. And then Drago went over to the other side again. Stryker telling us it's all legal, but you know, Drago's not under his own faculties here. He's been bent to the will of the Snake/Reptile Tribe under Cobra Moon's leadership, And I was thinking about you because she's really shown herself to, like, cause I know you mentioned that she seemed like more of sort of a henchman role or something like that. I think I enjoyed her. I'm enjoying her as the leader more and more as we go here. I think she's showing herself to be more than up for that role.
No, I agree with you actually after watching this match. And then also just because of the makeup of the reptile tribe, she's really the only one who could be the leader at this point,
yeah,
you know, as far as their personalities.
Yeah,
and everything.
Certainly would not be Vibra or Pindar. And you know, Drago maybe would be the only other one, but he left them. So what do you think about as the storyline goes? Because I was like, oh man, Phoenix and Aristar, they're down a team member. Should probably call up King Cuerno. Get on the case.
And you just see him tipping his cowboy hat.
Yeah.
And then getting into his pickup truck.
Hell yeah, that's what I want, man. But what did you think about
so badly? Because also, I'm thinking of that team's makeup and what members on the roster could actually like kind of replace Drago, at least temporarily. And Cuerno's one of those guys that has a similar skill set.
Dude.
And I think would complement them well.
Cuerno, again, I must have, actually,
Cuerno kind of fits in everywhere. Yeah, that's what's so great about him.
Cuerno, again, he's the Boba Fett of Lucha Underground. I think he has world champion written all over him. I mean, he's one of my favorites to watch in the ring, his moveset and everything like that, just his whole aesthetic. So we are firmly behind that storyline happening. I'm hoping it does. It'd be such a perfect way to bring him back into the fold. But what did you think about Drago in general, just the whole betrayal, and where do you see that going?
Like you said, this is what we knew was going to happen. It was only a matter of time. Even when they rescued him, you know, he was acting kind of weird.
Yeah.
So it's just we've had a long wait between episodes. I see it getting dark for a little bit as far as them actually having to fight it out with them. I'm looking forward to Aerostar and Drago going against each other again just because they always have such beautiful matches.
They do.
I really would like it to be – I can't imagine the storyline resolving itself any other way than King Cuerno helping them now. Like, I don't even know what the other options are. They have to have a third person, though. They're going to have to bring somebody into it because they're going to continue to have trios matches.
Yeah.
And yeah, like, who else would they get?
Yeah.
Unless it's somebody brand new.
Yeah, nobody's coming to mind.
Yeah.
From there, we got a backstage vignette with Taya, Mandel, and Johnny Mundo as Taya was lamenting that Mundo took such a long shower that she has news for him. She's relaying the news that Mundo is going to, and I think I even failed to mention that along with the announcement of the Cueto Cup is the fact that at the final of the Cueto Cup, Johnny Mundo will be defending his Lucha Underground Championship against Rey Mysterio. And going back to what Cueto said, was that he's not rewarding Matanza for essentially bringing shame on the family. So.
When you thought Dario was a great older brother.
I know. Well, you know.
I still think he is. I think Dario's worried about Matanza, and that's why he doesn't want to throw him in the match so quickly.
Could be. Let's go
always
with
looking
that.
Out.
But Taya's relaying that information to Mundo, and Mundo tells Ricky Mandel to go get the car. I need to get to my dojo, which is just awesome. Like anytime
the
dojo.
Mundo to say that to me once.
You know, it could happen. But anytime that Mundo references the dojo, it's been a pretty good night on Lucha Underground. I love that. And then he admits to Taya. What did he say? He's like, you know, I didn't want the new guy to see that. I didn't want to
show I was worried in front of the kid or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I was afraid in front of the kid. Rey Mysterio is no joke. Yeah, that was.
Have to train harder than I ever have before.
Oh, so
I'm
good.
Hoping for a montage.
Oh, seriously, dude, a good montage would be
good montage, solid montage music.
Yeah,
him using like Jack and PJ and
you could use
you know,
the Boone
Ricky
song.
Oh wait, what?
You could use the Boone song.
Oh yeah. Dude, cross promotion.
Yeah, absolutely.
That would be so perfect.
But the other best part about this vignette was then he was getting ready to go to the he was going to leave because he's still in his towel and flip-flops, and Taya just says, Johnny, don't you want to put some pants on? And he just said, no time for pants. Awesome.
Could not agree more.
I bet Taya agrees, too.
Listen, Mundo was looking on point in that.
Dude, he was pointing himself out too at the start of the match, just pointing to his abs. Those abs won't quit.
No, they won't, man. They're awesome.
But yeah, so that was a great vignette. That took us to the main event of the evening, which was Mil Muertes versus Prince Puma or Puma Dark in a Boyle Heights street fight. Again, one of the most storied rivalries in Lucha Underground history. It's young history, but still a very storied rivalry here.
It's getting there, though.
It is. Yeah, absolutely. I thought that this was, for the time it was given in particular, just a really fun match. They always deliver. Puma and Muertes can have a great match in their sleep. This was a lot of fun. Man, I miss seeing Katrina every week, too. Seriously. Multiple fire emojis. Yeah, insane. It was great seeing her come out with Muertes again. I've missed Katrina a lot, and I'm sure the feeling is very mutual that she has missed me as well. I got her
She sent you that shirt.
Yeah, exactly. I got that very sweet gift, and I want to lucha and chill with you too, Katrina, so I'm sure that'll happen soon.
How about a little bread
for the Jeffa? Just got to wait for that restraining order to clear, you know? Fucking lawyers always getting in the way.
No time for pants.
Yeah, exactly. But no, it was great seeing Katrina back. I love Mil Muertes, so... And Puma, so seeing them lock up again on this episode, this was a stacked night. But what did you think of the match?
Top tier talent, man. I really do enjoy just those two battling against each other. Not even just how they are in the ring, but the entire story behind their characters, and you know the reason why they hate one another, and just how long they have been fighting each other, because it has been sort of that slow burn. Yeah. As far as how long their rivalry has gone on for, and really for no other reason that the two of them are just two of the top dogs in the company, and they have opposing goals. And then now it's become so much more, but as far as their initial fights. And then what I also liked was, I think they're just doing an amazing job with the storytelling with Puma's character. I like how he carries himself. I like the clothes that he wears. I liked how even he entered the ring this time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. From the heel side.
The sneak into the back.
Yeah. That was.
It was a lot of fun. I mean, it's a great match. It's not even when it's just Puma and Mil Muertes. I still get a kick out of the shots of Vampiro's face watching violence. Because
He enjoys it.
He really does.
He gets off on it. It's great. I love that aspect of his character. It's like those are the parts that it's like he's trying to hide everything from Matt, but sometimes little bits still seep out a little bit. So I think it works for his character.
I think Matt just sort of lets it slide. It's like, oh, I don't want to dig too deep.
And you had you mentioned as far as like Matt trying to come up with the justification for all the street signs.
God, hysterical, because right before he said that, I was like, oh, that's a lot of street signs underneath that wrestling ring.
Yeah. Mil Muertes hit a little bit of a detour in his path to victory.
Yeah. And yeah, what did you say? Department of Transportation must rent this space out for storage.
Yeah, that was great.
God bless you, Stryker.
Keeping kayfabe alive.
Yep.
Gotta love it. But as much as
I'll let the occasional stop sign slide just because I love
classic.
Using it so much in video games.
Yeah, exactly.
But a detour sign, and pretty soon it's going to be railroad crossing.
All I got to say is Matt Stryker's line was great, but Katrina, she was hitting rocks, Jeff. Been waiting all night to use that.
All night long?
All night long I've been waiting to use that, because Katrina, after Puma hit his finisher, got in the ring.
Well, she was hitting people with rocks.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Hey, it plays, bro. It plays. And
oh, no, it's solid.
And
you want to just end the show now? We'll just end it on that.
Whoop, 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 whoop. Yep, that's all, folks. Good night, everybody. No, but so Katrina used the rock on Puma, or the mystical stone, but didn't keep him down for long. And then Vampiro got involved, gave Puma a brick, which he
gives him a brick,
which he promptly just smashes over Mil Muertes' head for the victory.
I loved it that she used this mystical stone and he just uses a brick, and it's basically the same. A brick will counter it. The brick will do the exact same thing.
I did like what Stryker had to say in commentary, though. It's almost like the very foundations of Lucha Underground, you know, propelling him to victory. I thought that was great. Just great.
That's a good line.
Yeah. So I appreciated that. And, you know, a big win for Prince Puma in this rivalry. They're both in the Cueto Cup. So I think that they're going to be seeing each other again, and that is going to be probably because they teased Vampiro and Muertes getting involved in this match. My guess is after what Vampiro did tonight, and everything like that. He and Vampiro are on a collision course, and probably it will come to another head at the Cueto Cup, probably propelling. I'm guessing Puma is going to win the Cueto Cup under Vampiro's tutelage, and that, and I'm guessing Rey Mysterio will beat Johnny Mundo, and it's going to lead to an inevitable clash between them again, this time with Puma under the guise of, you know, siding with sort of darkness and everything like that. That's sort of what my fantasy booking that I see right now. So very, very interesting stuff. How do you see this all playing out?
No, I think that's a pretty solid prediction. It's going to be sad seeing Puma go against Rey because it's going to be a very different Puma this time.
Yeah. It's going to be underhanded tactics. It's going to be vicious. But overall, man, just a fantastic episode of Lucha Underground. Before we go, I do want to tell you, you can follow us on Twitter at Lucha Lowdown if you want to get involved in the conversation. I love live tweeting the episodes with y'all and just talking Lucha with you. Or you can email us, luchalowdown@gmail.com. Find us on Facebook. But the most important thing you can do is subscribe to us on iTunes and rate and review us if you like the show and tell your friends. Again, rate and review us on iTunes helps get the word of mouth going, and you just sharing us on all your social medias and everything like that. We really appreciate it. I know the wrestling community is a very tight-knit one, and you guys have been a great help. The response has been awesome. So, yeah, just love interacting with you all. That ends the commercial for this episode, and that is also going to do it for us tonight here at Lucha Lowdown. For Jeff Budd, I'm James Kincaid. Katrina was hitting rocks. Good night, everybody.